Let's just pray. We had our fundraiser this weekend, guys. You guys bear with me. Some of you all were there. Praise God. It did really well. It did really well. So praise God. Thank you all for praying for Soaring Eagle Center for Autism. And I am just... Anyways, so bear with me. You all pray for me this morning. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, Lord. We thank you for your many, many blessings to us, Lord God. We thank you for another Sunday morning. And Lord, we just thank you because there is power in the blood, Lord God. And we just thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit and the power that is you, Lord God, that we have access to through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you. And I pray that you would help us as we learn about this power, Lord God, that we come to an understanding about this power according to your word, Lord God, not according to our opinions, not according to what we thought it was, Lord God, but Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would give us fresh manna, oh God, as we study your word and fresh understanding, oh God, that we would know, Lord God, how we can walk in your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And last week, you know, we talked about mastery. As we did the introduction to this power of God segment, this is such an important lesson. As I've been studying it, I'm just seeing how important it is for us as believers to understand the working of the power of God, because I think it eludes us a lot. You know, we wonder, you know, we talk about this wonderful, amazing, powerful God that we serve, but yet sometimes we don't see it manifested in our lives. And there should be a question mark as to why, Lord, why am I not seeing this power that you're talking about in manifested in my life? And so that's what we want to learn about. How do we master? I think it's so awesome that Jack Hayford and Dick Eastman made the theme of this chapter mastery, because it's a matter of mastery. Last week we talked about the steps to mastery of the power of God. Number one, we have to learn about the power. That's why we're here in Sunday school today, is that you got to learn this. If you don't understand, if you have not read and studied the word of God, there's no way you're going to be able to master it. So first you have to learn about the power. Second, you have to believe in the power, because it's fueled by faith, folks. The power of God is fueled by faith. We've seen the examples of that over and over again. We talked about Esther last week. We talked about Moses last week. And those folks had to master the power of God, but it was fueled by their belief, by their faith. And then third, you have to grow in the power. You know, you're not going to be able to depart the Red Sea day one. You know, you have to grow in this thing. You have to grow little by little. And God knows that, so he'll give you little assignments he'll start you off with. And then little by little, you'll be growing. I want you to keep that picture in mind of Moses. And Moses had a stutter. You know, he couldn't talk. That's why Aaron had to talk for him, because Moses had a stutter. He had a bad stutter. And that was another of his concerns of going before Pharaoh and trying to say, let my people go. And he's got a stutter. So Aaron spoke for him. You know, but you remember that chapter in Exodus when he was talking to God, like, but what if they don't believe me? And that's how a lot of us start out. God will tell you to do something, and the first thing you say, but what if, but what if, but what? And he went from that point all the way to leading over 1 million people, they said, out of Egypt and parting the Red Sea. You know, so again, you have to grow in this. And God is faithful. Just like he brought Moses along, he'll bring you along to those great things. So your growth is strengthened by his word and prayer. And number four, you have to live the power. It is assimilated by obedience. You get it by obedience. Again, God's going to start out with the little things he'll tell you. But unless you step out and obey it, how is it ever going to be manifested in your life if you never step out in anything in obedience? You know, one of these safe people, and I'm one, safe. I got to have my melancholy temperament, man. I've got to have all my ducks in a row before I step out. But I've learned if I'm ever going to experience the power of God, I have got to step out in faith, knowing that not seeing, and God will deliberately not let me see. I learned that about him. Because he wants me to believe him and not in my resources and all the things that I have. So As we recap on that, we're going to go into this week. We're going to talk about knowing this name. And hopefully you got a handout on the song Power in the Blood. If you don't, there are handouts on the counter on There is Power in the Blood. We're going to refer to that song today. So as we go into the next segment of our study, knowing this name, the power of God, our key verse is from Job 27:11, and it says, I will teach you regarding the hand or the power of God. I will not conceal what is with the Almighty, God's actual treatment of the wicked, it says. But it says, I will teach you regarding the hand or the power of God. So God, again, in his word, he's telling you he's faithful to teach us. There is something supernatural about the name of Jesus. Okay, we could just stop right there, okay? Because you need to know that, okay? That's just kind of a given. That's a prerequisite that you need to know going into this study on the power of God, that there is something supernatural about the name of Jesus. If you can't think of anything else to say, I just read Job 27:11, and that's in the Amplified that I just read. It should be in your handout.
Yeah, it's right under knowing this name.
Okay, it's right under knowing this name. It should be in your handout.
What lesson are we on?
We're on the lesson, power, the power of God.
Lesson
23, the power of God, and we're under knowing this name.
We're on page 134.
Page 134 in your handout. Okay. Okay. So, again, there is something supernatural about the name of Jesus, whether it is thought or spoken. Boy, whether even if you think, sometimes I have just thought Jesus and I just got just full. You know, my attitude changed just at the very thought of Jesus. So whether it's thought or spoken, his name is the personification of power. Jesus' name means mastery. Now, this is from our book on page 134. And I just want to make this very clear. We're not learning about this lesson because we cannot harness or control the power of God. You cannot harness the power of God. You cannot control the power of God. We're talking about learning the mastery of the power of God. Learn how God's power does and does not operate. It's so important. That's what we mean by mastery. When you master something, you know how it does operate and how it does not operate. You know, that's why, you know, when you're studying medicine, you know, you have a surgeon, you want to know, that surgeon needs to know what your body can take and what it cannot take, okay? So that's mastery that we're talking about. So as we look at knowing this name, the power of God, is to understand this name in two respects of the name of Jesus, meaning mastery. First, as a result of Christ's work on the cross, and second, in contrast to all human notions of power. Okay, again, so again, we got to go back to the theme of leaving Babylon. You got to change your mindset because we have a notion of power that is going to be different when we study the power of God, okay? So number one, as we talked about these two aspects, these two respects of the name of Jesus as the mastery of the power of God, first of all, Jesus is our miracle. Because Christ's work on the cross, Jesus is our miracle because of Christ's work on the cross. To pray in Jesus' name places us within the resource of Calvary's almightiness. So we're going to park here for a minute and contemplate the power of our salvation. This is something that we take for granted a lot. But folks, it is the power. There's power in the fact that we can be saved. Jesus is our miracle because of his work on the cross. So our point says Jesus is our miracle, our dynamo. According to 1 Corinthians 1:24 and Romans 1:4, the first and most wonderful miracle of the power of God is what Jesus did in us. That is the miracle and the power of salvation. This is the power that changed us from what we were to what we are now. It took power to change you. Don't you know that's true? It took power to change. I look back at myself. I'm like, Lord Jesus, you have changed my whole outlook. I mean, I wasn't like this 10 years ago. I had certain ideas. I had certain habits. I had certain ways of thinking about life and people that is different now. That is the working of the power of God. We take it for granted, but you need to look deeply. Lord, I remember. I've heard people say, I don't have a taste for tobacco. I don't have a taste for alcohol. I don't have a taste for drugs anymore. That is because of the power of God. And don't ignore it. Sometimes, okay, I didn't, as we used to say, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run with those that do. But there were other stuff going on with you. You had a bad attitude. You were a hateful person toward people. You know, you were a bitter thing. You know, and look at you today, loving people. Giving to people. That took power, folks. God's power had to work in your life in order for that to happen. We have to understand this wonder-working power and that changed us. We can't take it for granted anymore. So we think back and we think about what your family was like, how you were like, and how the power of Jesus worked in your life. And you look at yourself today, and you look at your family today, and you got to recognize that took power to do that. The apostle proclaimed a deep truth about himself and us when he said, "For the good that I want to do, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want." That's from Romans 7:19. The apostle realized that we were prisoners of sin, committing evil even when we did not want to, or even when it hurts us and the people we love. We were imprisoned to sin, and we needed a prison break. And that takes power. The blood of Jesus is that power, folks. So we have to understand, you know, I mean, we all have experienced not wanting, trying to be good, trying to do right. Okay, I'm not going to get a bad attitude today. I don't care what those people do today. I'm not going to get a bad attitude. I'm going to do right. I'm going to love. And you're in there 5 minutes and you've messed up.
Yeah.
5 minutes. And it's because, you know, sometimes it's because we're not even tapping into the power. Sometimes, and that's where we got to shift our thinking from what we knew, human power, to God's power. Because human power thinks, okay, if you try hard enough, if you set your mind to it, you can do it. But the power of God, to operate in the power of God, first of all, you got to recognize this scripture that in Romans, where he says, the good that I want to do, I can't do. See, if you can't recognize that, if you're walking in your arrogance, that's what it is, that I'm going to do it because I, just by my human will, I can do it, then you're missing the power of God. But when you recognize, like the apostle did, I can't do it. I've accepted Jesus Christ. I'm trying to do his will, but I realize that within myself, there's something operating that doesn't want to do right. It's sin. And you got to recognize that you have no power over that thing. That's why Jesus came and died in the first place. But when you recognize that, that's step one. And then you call on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me today. See, that's the prayer. The prayer is not, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Yes, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm just going to do it. That's not the prayer. The prayer is, Holy Spirit, I have no power within myself. If you don't come and help me, I'm going to mess up today. I'm going to tell you now. So help me, Holy Spirit. Put a guard over my mouth, my tongue today, Lord, so I don't lose it. Help me, Holy Spirit. That's how you pray. And then you'll see the wonder-working power in your life when you rely on the Holy Spirit. So there has to be a mind shift. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to you believers. The apostle was a believer when he wrote this. So I'm talking to you believers. You got to have a mind shift that I need your power in my life today. If you're messing up every day, you keep slipping and saying the wrong thing, okay. You need to pray different because you need the power working in your life. Somebody told me long ago, the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. He's standing by. God, Jesus Christ gave us access to him. But unless you say, Holy Spirit, someone said that he's the most neglected person in the Trinity. We know God, we know Jesus, but man, we don't talk much of the Holy Spirit. We need to talk to the Holy Spirit, help me. Jesus said, I'm sending him. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending him. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But we ignore him. We need to call on him. Holy Spirit, help me now because I have to go into this. And he will come. And he will help you. I'm telling you, this is not a fairy tale. This is not some make-believe thing. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will change you. He changed me. I think back how I used to be. And he changed me. The songwriter said there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And I had to write out the words of the song. Note the words of the song if you get this copy. There's power in the blood. And I just want to read some of the verses of this song because it's interesting that the songwriter, Lewis Jones, began this song with two questions. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or over evil a victory win? There is power in the blood. Isn't that interesting? He started with a question because he's like, do you want power? Do you want to overcome evil? Well, there's power in the blood. But the question has to be asked because sometimes we live like we don't want the power because we don't ask for the power. We just, well, I'm saved. That's all I... But he says, would you be free? Do you want to be free? Well, there's power in the blood. Do you want to overcome evil and win a victory for a change? Well, there's power in the blood. So, boy, that struck me. I'm like, okay, so he's asking us. He said, because I wonder what prompted him to write such a song. Because I can assume, I'm just kind of assuming what he must have saw that his people, that the people of God were not walking in the power. So I have to ask you, do you want it? Well, then you need to, because there's power in the blood. It goes on. There's another question further down. It says, would you be free from your passion and pride? Uh-oh. See, that's a hard one. See, God, I got to think about whether I want to be free from my pride. Because after all, I'm who I am. Would you? Oh, man, that's a powerful question. Because some of us, we don't say it out loud, but we don't want to be free from our pride. We want to be ready with a comeback if somebody comes at us. We don't want to be ready. We don't want to be humble. We want to be ready with a comeback. And we're going to get into that because you know we got to hit every single lesson. We hit on humility, don't we? every single lesson. And it's the same here when it comes to the power of God. You want to master the power of God? I'm telling you, you got to get free of your passion and pride so you can walk in his humility because that's where his power lies. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow, purifying you? There's power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. I love that. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There is power in the blood. The whole song are questions. Would you do service for Jesus your King? Uh-oh. I want to serve him. I say that all the time. I want to serve him. But listen, how are you going to serve him with no power in your life?
Come on.
How are you going to do anything for him with no power in your life? Oh, my goodness. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's power in his blood. I'm telling you, I had to write these words out because I just study these words. I mean, these questions just really struck me. They have on Netflix, if you have Netflix, there is a documentary called Holy Ghost. Yes, there is. There's a documentary called Holy Ghost. There is a filmmaker by the name of Darren Wilson. Not our Darren Wilson, but his name is Darren Wilson. He's a filmmaker, and he's making all these documentaries that are just powerful. One is called The Holy Ghost. One is called Furious Love, just showing the love of Jesus. Another one is called The Father of Lights. But this one called Holy Ghost, they set out to prove that the Holy Ghost was real, and they just hit the streets. Just walking the streets, asking people, do you want me to pray? You know, if a person had a limp, they walk, do you want us to pray for you? We can get rid of that limp for you. And just go out and pray for people, and people are being healed on the streets. It is amazing. They did one documentary where they actually, and I just couldn't believe they did this, they went to Israel, to the Dome of the Rock, you know, the big Muslim temple. Now, non-Muslims are not allowed in that building. You cannot go into the Dome of the Rock if you are not a Muslim. Anyway, they went into prayer, and it was so funny because, well, that was, they just went into prayer, and somehow they got a connection. It was just interesting. They got all these connections just from these miraculous things that happened, and they videotaped this whole thing, and they walked right into the Dome of the Rock. The guards just let them in. And they walked into the Dome of the Rock, went into the Dome of the Rock, and to this place, there's this part of the Dome of the Rock that's called the Holy of Holies. That's where, I don't know if it was where the Ark of the Covenant once sat. And they went into that place, and they began to pray. They began to pray, Holy Spirit, come on into this building in the name of Jesus. I mean, it was amazing. And they videotaped the whole thing. Because they were out to prove that if you have the Holy Spirit, you can walk into anything and do what God tells you to do. You don't have to be afraid. Now, make sure God told you to do it, because God told them to go in there and start praying. And the people told them, no, you can't. There's no way they're going to let you in there. They won't let you in. And there they were in there praying. I'm telling you, I mean, God is moving by his power. I mean, it was just amazing. They were out to prove the Holy Spirit. I mean, people on the street, they were just praying for them. And they were praying for this guy, and this guy started to feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit in his hands and up his shoulder on the street. Because the power of God is real. And it was just amazing to see how these guys had mastered. A lot of them are from that Christian rock band Korn. I mean, just in there. I was just amazed at what they were able to do. You know, it was just this amazing thing. They went to India, and they went and started singing praise and worship on the steps of this temple. It was called the Temple of Shiva. You know, and they sat on the steps of the temple singing praise and worship. Now, of course, the people of India didn't understand the language, so they just started clapping and singing with them. They didn't understand it. He was just singing, just had on his flip-flops and his shorts, just singing, oh, praise Jesus, oh, praise, and just, I mean, it was just the most amazing thing. And his friends in India, they sent bodyguards behind him. He didn't even know the bodyguards were there because his friend told him, you're going to get killed. They will kill you. You know, because he was on his own. He didn't have guards from the United States. He didn't have the U.S. Army behind him. He was just out there by himself. But God told him to do it. The Holy Spirit. And he walked through the streets of India just singing praises to God. And they told him, they will kill you because this is a Hindu nation and you do not do that. You do not do that. And he did it. Nobody touched him. You know, there was one point where the crowd kind of gathered close and some guy tried to pull him off the steps, you know, and he had to go to another area, but no harm came to him at all. The Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I was amazed that, I'm telling you, God is moving by his power all through this world. And if one or two people could do that and just change this whole, that whole community by singing the praises of God, what could we do? Wow. If we mastered the power of God, little by little, bit by bit, you master the power of God. I'm starting to see, okay, the movement of God. As I'm praying more, I'm seeing it more. I'm like, oh God, you answered that. Oh God, you did that. You know, God, you moved. God, you changed that heart. Oh my God, you. If you start to operate in the power of God, it can be done. So I encourage you, look up that video. It's called Holy Ghost. Just look it up. It's a documentary on the Holy Ghost. So we come to a place where we really want to understand the power of the blood. He understands that you don't understand his power. And he understands you have taken it for granted, but he will open your eyes and he will show you his power. His power is all around us every day. See, this is we take it for granted. You know, we talked about the atom, the smallest entity that mankind has identified so far that makes up everything. It makes up the table, it makes up the chair, it makes up my body. The atom makes up everything. And then when mankind got so wise that he decided he was going to split this atom, he released the power of God that we call a nuclear explosion. Do you know what that, do you know why that nuclear, that is a splitting of the atom. And when you split that atom, the power of God is just released. And that's what you see in a nuclear explosion. You've seen what that looks like. How devastating it is, because that power has just been unleashed. If there could be any good thing that you see in that, see that. Because they're splitting that entity that God put together to make up everything that we see. It is, you know, if you look at it, and we've talked about this, you see that nuclear core, the protons and the electrons are just going all around it. The electron just staying with the proton. They're attracted to each other. That's called the electromagnetic energy. It's attracted to each other. And even though that's what makes me up, my body makes up this chair. I can touch this chair, come off, and I'm still caring. We didn't, I mean, that fascinates me. Maybe you guys are not. I'm so fascinated that, wow, when I learned this in science, I was like, you mean to tell me that we're made up of these things? And for some way, for some reason, my body holds together and doesn't just go off into, fly off into oblivion? That is the sustaining power of God. The word of God says, by him, all things consist and hold together. Science is just finding that out in the last 50 years or so. But the word of God already said it. By him, all things consist and hold together. This chair holds together. I hold together because he said so. That is the power of God all around us every day. But we take it for granted. So this same power that we are learning about, science is just now learning and tapping into it, we can tap into that same power and let God move, the healing power of God, the movement of God. Jesus said, if this mountain, if you would tell that mountain to be removed and be cast in the sea, Jesus said that would happen. That's how powerful this is. I mean, you know, a nuclear blast could do that. But we have to look at, again, how do we master? Learning of the mastery of the power of God. Because again, you can't master, you can't control this power, you can't lord over it. You have to learn the mastery of the power of God. The next point we have, God saved you by his grace when you believe, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. That's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Salvation was bought for you by the power of God and the work of his Christ on the cross. You contributed no power in obtaining your salvation. You contributed nothing. All you had to do was ask him to come into your heart and it was done. But all the power of salvation, that power that you felt that day when you asked him into your heart, you know, we all remember something changed in me. You know, that day when I asked him into my heart, man, something was different. That was the entrance of his Holy Spirit and the power of God entering into your life. It took power. You know, when you think about just, if we could just go back to Christ's crucifixion and watch what happened. Now, we've already talked about it. It was humanly impossible for him to do all the things he did. You know, it took the power of Christ to carry that cross up the hill after being beaten the way he was. His back was in ribbons. He should have bled out long time ago. But yet he was able to carry that cross up the hill to Calvary. It took power for him to bear the sins of the world. It took power to raise him from the dead. It took power to save you. This was the power it took to save you. It was power. God's power was working through all of it. Through all of it. Through all of it. This is the power of salvation. And it's still here today. That power of salvation, that power that changes people, that makes people different. When you hear some of the people's testimonies and you're like, what? You used to do what? They're there today because of the power of God took to change that person. Amen. It takes the power of God to change people. So that's just part one of knowing this name. Jesus is our miracle. Number two, Jesus is our mastery. Paul told the Roman believers, for there is no authority except from God, granted by his permission and sanction, and those which exist have been put in place by God. That's Romans 13, 1. Those which exist would be everybody. Okay, so everybody that has existed, will exist, is existing, was put in place by God. So again, this is a point where we have to pay attention. So what we're learning, because when we think about that, I'm like, okay, God, so you put everybody in place. And that, so all the things that happened to me, all the people that have done stuff to me, and all the stuff that, the good and the bad, oh, Lord, you put all these people in place. Because frankly, Lord, we could have done without a few people on this planet. So you put all these folks on the planet. And like, I could have done without a few of them, Father. But you know what? If you're going to master, if you're going to learn the mastery of the power of God, you've got to go through something. Okay? So how else are you going to ever use that power if you're not going through something? Amen. See, I find that I pray more. It's just human nature. I pray more when I'm going through something. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to move more when I'm going through something. So those which exist have been put in place by God. So pay attention, people. Pay attention to the folks around you, the ones that are rubbing you the wrong way, the ones that's giving you a hard time. Pay attention. He's trying to grow you up. You may want to move them. Just get rid of them, Jesus. Just get rid of them. But God gonna grow us up. I'm talking to Andrea, my friend. God will grow us up in his power. Because we have been corrupted by sin. But the power of God through Christ has overcome sin. Yes, even the murderers, all the wickedness, those people, God's creation. But we've been corrupted. Humanity has been corrupted by sin. See, and so if you don't have the power of God, you can't overcome the sin that has corrupted humanity. You know, so there's a lot of things going on. He created everything, but the creation was corrupted. So now we must have, if you're going to overcome the corruption, you can only do it through the power, through his power, the power of the Creator. The scripture says, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. And that's John 1:12 from the Amplified. The word power in these texts means exousia, which relates to one's privilege or rights, but extends from there to encompass a person's influence or sphere of control, including his mastery. He teaches us with his power the mastery of his power. Isn't that something? We're bringing nothing to the table. Can I tell you, he ain't bringing nothing to the table. Because he's even teaching you by his power how to have the mastery of his power. Because it takes the Holy Spirit to help you to understand the mastery of his power. And that's why someone that doesn't know Christ, they will never understand the mastery of the power of God. They don't understand. I remember thinking about another film. This is an old one. Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark. The Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's what it was called. And I don't know how many of you saw that movie, but it was this movie where the Nazis were trying to capture the Ark of the Covenant. And I don't know if you guys remember that scene where they took the Ark of the Covenant out in the wilderness and they were going to open that Ark. And, you know, and Indiana Jones, of course, knows everything, is telling them, don't open it. Don't, you know, they had him tied up and wouldn't listen to him. So Indiana Jones told his friend, close your eyes, because you don't want to look on the glory of God. Close your eyes. And they opened that Ark, and boy, how they captured that. The power of God coming out of that thing. And I'm telling you, I don't know who I can't remember who actually did the film, but it was amazing because when all was said and done, every soldier was dead and on his face dead. Just showing the power of God. I'm telling you, you cannot harness this power. You know, I know that was just a film and that was just, but it was just interesting how they were showing you cannot harness the power of God. You can't control it because they wanted to take that ark and use it to control and to harness the power. But you can't harness the power, folks, only through Jesus Christ and growing in him and growing in him can you learn the mastery of it. You know, when you think about the miracles of Christ and what he did, I mean, he just spoke it and it was done. I mean, it was just... I mean, he demonstrated the mastery of the power of God in his life while he was here, that he just spoke in the apostles. You know, the same thing with the apostles. They started out, in fact, I'm getting ahead because we're going to get on that one way, but you end up full of the power of God if you keep going forward, keep going forward. So in contrast to all human notions of power, to pray in Jesus' name places us beyond the resources of man's very best workings or reasonings into the resource of God's power. You place yourself. See, you got to get beyond the human notions. That's why you don't need to be telling God, but what if? His power is greater than that. His power, he's already gone down the road and opened up the way for you.
Yes.
You know? I mean, I was just amazed. Again, those guys walking into the dome with a rock. But they did. By the power of Jesus Christ and prayed in there. And boy, that just brought, boy, that just brought a go ye into my spirit as I was watching that. I said, well, if they can do that, oh my God, what can I do, Lord? I'm afraid to talk to somebody at Walmart. Oh my God. Afraid to tell somebody about the Lord. Afraid to lay hands on somebody. to show them the Holy Spirit. But boy, what if you were walking in that power? So strong. And just could run into somebody at Walmart that was limping a little bit. And just, hey, and the Holy Spirit led you. And it wasn't a big show. I just love this thought. I was like, what a big show. Just a, hey, can we pray for you? Hey, God. And you would be amazed at how receptive people were.
Well, they are.
People need the Lord, folks. People hunger for the Lord. People hunger for someone that would care about them. A person walking on the street that has nobody. You just lay hands. Can I pray for you? Can I just... You know, and as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself too, because I can think back. I said, Lord, I should have. I should have. Father, I should have. Help me. Help me to do next time. Help me to stop next time. Help me to consider next time, Father. The power. We're talking about the power of God. And as we said earlier, if you want to walk in the power of God, you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due time. And if you really look at that scripture, what it's saying is that as you humble yourself, understand the mastery of the power of God. You've got to get out of your own power. And your own, yes, I know you got a little bit of status and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You got some money in the bank and you think you've got some power. But I'm talking about getting your power out of the way. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then he will exalt you in his power in due time. The power of Christ is the only resource that will bring peace on earth, okay? I want you to really hear this, because we've got all this other stuff trying to bring peace on earth, but this is the only thing that will bring peace on earth. Christ is the power that saves both the Jews and the Greeks, people of all nations, and makes them brothers and sisters. On a planet of chaos and war and perpetual strife, the power, the miracle of God came and brought peace to mankind. And again, it can be demonstrated right before you. Peace. Brothers and sisters, the strongest bond in the universe is the power of God that works in all of us. We flow together. You hear the saying that, what does it say, blood is thicker than water? Spirit is thicker than blood. Human blood. Spirit is thicker. Folks, binds us together, crosses national lines. Crosses racial lines, crosses all these lines to bring us together as one, even religious lines. Jesus hanging out with the Samaritans, okay, you know, and the Jews, we have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know, they're not pure blood like we are, but Jesus hanging out with a Samaritan woman on top of that. I'm like, Jesus, asking the woman to give him a drink of water. And she's shocked, like, you're talking to me and you're a Jew and here I am, you know, a woman and you're a Samaritan woman. And Jesus started ministering to her. Changed a town because he was willing to cross over. Folks, I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Spirit will change you. The power of the Holy Spirit will give you a boldness. And don't feel bad. You know, I said, Lord, I feel bad because sometimes I felt like I didn't have the boldness. I didn't have the courage to do what you called me to do. Don't feel bad about that. He is faithful to bring you along. If you'll just do that little thing he told you to do, and then you'll take a bigger step and a bigger step before you know it. Right. You'll be on the streets of India singing praises. Look out. I'm gonna see y'all in a documentary. Oh my God! That's Mary! With her ukulele! I didn't know she could play the ukulele, singing God's praises.
Thank you, Lord.
So when human peace talks, therapies, and programs and wars fail to solve our problems, it was the miracle of salvation and the change in us that saved mankind. Then this same power causes us to love and to give and to forgive each other. The wonder-working power is beyond human ability and human understanding. You know, I look at our great nation, the United States of America. It was founded on godly principles. You know, on our money we have stamped "In God We Trust." And that meant something. You know, because when you look around this nation, we have all types of people of all race in this nation. You know, and I know it's because the foundation of it was the love of God. The foundation of it was the power of God. There was no way we should even be here. We talked about George Washington and his pitiful army in rags freezing at Valley Forge. And they're going up against the Army of England, who had their beautiful red warm coats. You know? And we won. We shouldn't have won. You know, I tell you, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, the things that this nation has been through, then we're still here. The Civil War, the War of 1812, when they wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Our little raggedy flag was still flying through the night. Folks, see, I'm like, Lord, these are the things God will reveal stuff to you that we take so for granted. If you look at the power of God in this nation, that's why the enemy wants to destroy it so badly. The enemy wants to rip it apart. That's why I said, don't get caught up in all this strife and all that. It's a demon of strife. It is a spirit of strife. That's all it is. That we will fight, we will fight, we will fight, we will fight. That's all it wants. It doesn't care who it fights. It just wants two people. You put two people together, they can look exactly the same, be of the same faith, and the spirit of strife will get in there and start getting them to fight. So you got to see what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the demon of strife. And that's why we as believers, we got to stand up and pray. Because the power of God has sustained this nation this long. It has sustained it. And it is here to continue sustaining it. But we got to operate. We've got to learn the mastery of the power of God. So we go forward in this. So peace talks are not going to do it. Programs are not going to do it. It takes a miracle of salvation to do it. I can't explain why I love those that I should hate. That's power. Because the power of God works in me. And you can love people that you should be hating. Because of the power of God. You take it for granted. Like, I just feel good. I just feel like loving everybody. That's the power working. Acknowledge it. Thank God for it. Lord, I thank you that the power is working in me. Because I remember last year, I didn't like that person. But Lord, this year, Lord, there's something different in me. Thank you for that power working in my life. Believers in Christ. Thanks, Joe. Believers in Christ, churches all over the world. And I want you to hear this about the people of God. Believers in Christ, churches all over the world, give more to charities, give more time to their community and missions over any other group of people. That's you all. Because of the power of Christ in their lives, They choose to leave the comforts and go places to live and work that is beyond human reasoning. This is the power of God, the mastery of God, working in earth through the change he has brought in his people. So this is an encouragement to you all that we are changing the world. Most of the missionaries are from the church, people that profess they know Jesus Christ. The people that go on the highways and they profess they know Jesus Christ. There's another, we're in a sight and sound, all these videos and all these movies that are out. And I'm glad they're out because they're ministering to people that won't necessarily come into church. There's another movie called The Letters. It's a story of Mother Teresa.
What is it?
It's called The Letters. And it's the story of Mother Teresa. And I was just amazed how much this woman prayed and how much the miracles that she saw. The power of God that worked in this woman's life. The Catholic Church doesn't talk about it. They just talk about, oh, she did all this work in India. But boy, I was like, oh my God, she got that miracle. She got that miracle. And the power of God, this little old lady, she wasn't always old, but when she started out, she wasn't that old. But into the heart of India, into the worst places you could possibly go. And she went under so much persecution. People wanted her to go because they didn't want to hear about her Jesus. They didn't want to hear about her God. And she would just be there, just serving them. Went and learned a little bit about medicine because doctors would not go out there. There were no hospitals out there. So she went and spent like a few months with doctors so she could learn how to deliver a baby safely. She learned what kind of medicines you need. And went out there to the places where no one else would go and just changed a community. And she didn't go out there preaching either. She didn't even mention God. She just went out there helping, just delivering the baby, just loving on the people, just love. Oh my God, the love. There is power in the love of Jesus Christ. He taught me that. He taught me because I'm like, Lord, I'm just, sometimes I feel like I'm just so rigid and so this and so that. And like, Lord, I miss loving. And he was teaching me that you got to love people. You want to win them, love them. There's power in the love. There's the power of Jesus Christ is in the love. If we would just love. I'm trying to get through this segment, but we're going to have to continue next week. I'm just going to read this last point. So you have done more. The believers have done more than any other people group. Because the power of Christ is in their lives, they choose to leave the comforts. And I said that it goes beyond human reasoning. And he has brought this power. This power works throughout the earth. Okay, the last point. The power of Christ is the only resource that can solve our problems. Everything else is just a band-aid or a temporary fix. But the power of God removes the sin, the hate, and the strife that once was our daily bread. So you can overcome the thoughts of strife that the enemy brings to your mind by the power of God. Jesse Duplantis, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she was listening to Jesse Duplantis, was talking about switch it. He said, when the enemy brings that thought to your mind, switch it with the word of God. Switch it. when he talks to you about hating somebody, like, oh, I can't stand. Switch it. Love your enemies. Do good to those that hurt you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. He said, switch it. And I was like, you know what? I can remember that. So as soon as thought comes, switch it with the word of God. What I find out with that kind of stuff, if you start switching the word of God for those negative thoughts he brings to your mind, don't think that's coming from you. That's him. When you switch it, and then, oh my God, if you start praying for that person, he's going to leave you alone. He's going to be like, okay, you know what? I'm not even messing with Terry with this thought because she will turn around and pray for that person. And then that person will come to Christ. And I've lost too. So I dare you to switch it. to start switching the word of God with that thought. Lord, you said love. Lord, you said that we're to love our enemies. Do good to them that hurt you. Pray for them, oh God, that persecute you and despitefully use you. So Lord, I'm going to pray right now for so-and-so. I'm going to lift them up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Start working in their lives, Lord Jesus, and I'm going to be expecting a change in that life. And watch God will do it. So anyway, I know I've talked and talked, and we'll finish knowing this name next week. Any comments before we pray? Short comments.
Going back to Hitler and the Ark, he knew if he had that Ark, he would win the war.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why God
hid
it from him.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was a story where he was looking for the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, because isn't that something? Hitler was looking for the Ark of the Covenant because he knew. He understood. He knew there was power. The power of God operated in that Ark. Even though he was doing all this wickedness, he knew the power of God was there. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that your power is available to us, Lord God. And Lord, we pray this morning, Lord God, that you would show us, that you would teach us, oh Lord, that we would learn the mastery of your power, Lord God. Father, we know that humility must come. Lord, we know we must cast away our pride. We must cast away our arrogance. Lord, we even have to cast away the way we do things. Oh, Lord, and just come at your feet and learn, oh, God, how we can mask the mastery of your power in the earth, Lord God. Father, this earth needs the movement of your power, Lord God. Oh, Father, this nation needs the movement of your power, Lord God. So I pray we, your people, oh, God, would grow up in it. Oh, Lord, so we can demonstrate to this world, oh, God, that you are here, that you are powerful, and that your power, you are the power that overcomes sin. You are the power that overcomes the world.
Yes.
So, Lord, help us. Teach us. Oh, Lord, you left us here, and you left your Holy Spirit here with us to move. So, Lord, I pray that we would move by your power, Lord. We cast away fear. We cast away doubt. Oh, Lord, even this week, Father, I pray that you will begin to show us the movement of your power in our lives. Oh, Lord, that you would challenge us even this week to move and to work and to walk in your power. In this, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.